Today's scripture is from Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. I'll give you a moment to open your Bibles. Romans 12, 3 to 8. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually, we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
And we're lifting up our teachers today. And we know that teachers just have such a vital role in our lives and in our communities. We know that teachers do a lot, and that they work together every day to educate our children. And most of the time, I think that's a satisfying and rewarding kind of work. But it can be frustrating, too. You know, teachers have to deal with a lot. What with the, you know, name-calling and the hurt feelings and the feeling left out and the trying to fit in, you know. And then they have to deal with the children. But teachers do, they have a vital role to play. They make such a difference, such a crucial difference in the lives of young people. J.D. Vance, in his book, Hillbilly Elegy, he says an astounding thing. He says, whatever talents I had, I almost squandered until a handful of loving people rescued me. Now, Mr. Vance was talking about his grandparents and others who came in, who intervened in what was a really chaotic life for him when he was a child. But I think all of us can point back at some point in our lives to somebody who was that kind of person for us. It might have been a coach. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a youth director, a scout leader. But over and over again, so often, it's a teacher. A teacher who uses their God-given gifts to nurture and to stand us up and to point us in the right direction. Now, this passage that you heard today is from a letter of Paul. Paul, as you know, is a follower of Jesus. And he is speaking to a community of new believers, a community of believers in the first century who are coming together to try and form a community that lives the way Jesus wants them to live. Live the way God wants them to live. And they're committed to nurturing each other and standing each other up to live in that way. Now, Jesus, as you know, was like the ultimate teacher. He was the teacher that every teacher, I think, really would like to be like all the time, right? Jesus was wise. Jesus had insights. And for preschool teachers, this is really important. Jesus could miraculously produce snacks anytime. Jesus was a great teacher. But he was more than that, because Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was close to God. He was one with God. Jesus didn't just have wise things to say. He was the embodiment of wisdom. He didn't just have insights. He was the embodiment of truth. And with everything he did, with every action he took, with everything he did in his life, everything he did in his death, and everything he did in his resurrection, he taught a central lesson about the great truth of God. That he loves his people. That he loves you and he loves me. That he wants desperately for us to love him. And to show that love, to demonstrate that love that we have for him and that we feel he has for us, to demonstrate that love by loving other people. Jesus' central teaching went like this, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it was with that central teaching in mind that Paul went out and he started to form these groups called the church, but these groups that would come together and promise to support each other and nurture each other in this great work of trying to live out Jesus' teaching, live out loving God and loving others. And to try in their own way to kind of move the world a little closer to be in the kind of place that God envisions it should be. Well, in that work, Paul, in this passage, he identifies four special gifts that people are given, and that they could use together in these communities. Come together and use together in these communities in order to make that vision, in order to bring that vision a little closer to reality. And the first gift he lifts up is this gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is kind of a spooky word. It's kind of a big word in a way, but it really does speak to a fairly simple concept. Prophecy, this gift of prophecy, is simply the ability to look around at what is happening today and make projections about the future based on what is going on today. Sometimes prophecy can be really simple. For instance, you don't have to be much of a prophet to know that if a person drives around in his car for years and years and never gets brake service, that sooner or later there's going to be an accident. Because we all have enough wisdom to know that everything in the world deteriorates, including brakes, and when they wear out, the car doesn't stop anymore. So that's an easy kind of prophecy to make. But Paul's talking about a more complicated and subtle kind of prophecy, the kind of gift of prophecy that people bring into this group of believers. To be able to look at the world as it is, to look at the way people are being in the world, and compare it to their wisdom about what they know God wants the world to be. And then those people who have that gift are able to start to direct people, to point people towards what they can do differently to have that outcome, to have their future be God's future. So prophecy is really about seeing potential and then pointing people towards realizing that potential, towards fulfilling it. Prophecy and those people who have that gift and that wisdom, they're like compasses. And they can begin to move us in the right direction. Well, Paul lifts up these people who have this ability to, with wisdom, see where we are and see where we should go. And then he lifts up the people who have the gift of encouragement, the gift of encouragement. People who can urge others on to go ahead and pursue that vision. And I had a high school coach whose idea of encouragement towards all of us boys becoming the kind of football team he wanted us to be. His idea of encouragement was threatening us with like endless laps around the track, you know, or push-ups until we couldn't do it anymore, or sit-ups until we felt sick. That was his kind of encouragement. Paul's talking about something different. Paul's talking about the encouragement that is this sort of almost mystifying support that we sometimes receive from people when they have more faith in us than we have in ourselves. Those people in our lives, and maybe it's happened to you, somebody saw something in you that you didn't even see yourself, and they urged you on. When you'd have been content, you'd have been happy maybe to give up. So Paul lifts up these people who are the compass, who can see where we ought to go, the people who are encouragers, those who can urge us on towards that goal. And then he lifts up people who can teach, people who can train and instruct other people and make them want to learn. And that is a really amazing skill, right? A lot of people have stuff that they can impart to us, knowledge that they can impart, but it takes a special person to do it in such a way, in a generous way, in a winsome way, that makes people want to learn from them. It takes a special person to do that. My brother is a little bit like this kind of person. He trains people how to ride horses, and he's really good at it. But you know why he's good at it? He's good at training people to ride horses because he is good at training horses. And he says in both cases, it all comes down to trust. When a horse comes in to be trained, the first thing he does is he trains that horse to trust him. And then he trains those people to trust their horse. And when you have all of that power and all that strength of a horse and all that intellect and purpose, and they're harnessed together by trust, amazing things happen. A love develops. And there's an amazing thing. It's just amazing what a horse and a rider can do together when they have that kind of trust. Paul lifts up this ability to teach in that same way. And finally, Paul looks at the gift of service. People who are willing and able to have a servant's heart. And that's kind of the gift that holds everything else together. Because whatever the cause is, whatever the goal is, whatever the vision is, you need those people who have that vision in them with such passion and with such fervor that they are willing to put aside their own agenda, put aside their own needs, put aside their own wants in order to accomplish that goal. Paul lifts up all of these people, these different individuals who with these different gifts come together as a unity in the church in order to begin to move the world towards where God wants it to be, in order to nurture each other and shape each other and live the way that Jesus wants them to live. All of these people come together in one unity to begin to make that happen. But isn't it true that in those individuals who made such an impact in our lives, those coaches, those teachers, those leaders, isn't it true that they had every single one of those gifts all rolled into one person? And teachers, isn't it true that when you're at your best, when you're really dialed in, when all the paperwork and the hassles and the politics are behind you, and it's just about you and your students, isn't it true that those are the gifts that make you the teacher you want to be? To see potential in a young person and see it so clearly that you can see their future. And seeing that potential just to wake up at night thinking of ways to uniquely encourage that person, to let them know that you have faith in them, even if they have no faith in themselves, but you can see it. To build bonds of trust between you and your students so that no matter what, you can come together and they can listen to and accept and embrace what you have to offer. And that when that's really working, you're really teaching each other. And isn't it true? Isn't it true that when things are really clicking, it's a passion. It's a deep desire to influence others, to influence young people, to make a difference in people's lives. That's what drives you. And it's a passion that would be hard to extinguish in you, even if you tried. Of course, every single one of us is called to be a teacher. And every single one of us can avail ourselves of these gifts from God, these gifts that enable us to make that kind of difference in people. Now, it's true, especially teachers know this, it's true. Students come into their classrooms, people come into our church. People come from homes where this kind of support doesn't exist, where there is no one there to see potential, to encourage, to train, to serve. But you know, as J.D. Vance said in that little quote from his book, whatever talents he had, he almost squandered until a handful of loving people rescued him. Friends, whether we're teachers, whether we're in our homes, whether we're in the church, any of us who claim to be followers of Christ, we're called to be that handful. We're called to be that handful in any way that we can. So much of loving God and loving others is all about seeing potential in others, offering encouragement, gently training, and always serving. Those are the things that can help us be teachers to anyone who comes near us and help us be more like the great teacher, like Jesus himself. And to help us be that teacher's pets as we move forward and commit to each other to do those things. To children, to youth, to each other. So let's take a moment to pray together this morning. Let's take a moment to pray together, and I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit now to rest upon us. And really go into our hearts this morning. And Father, as we sit in silence, just lift up, maybe bring to our consciousness, oh God, those persons in our midst, those people who you might be calling us to minister to in this way, that you might be calling us to see the potential in and point in the right direction, to encourage, to show that we have faith in them. Those persons who need gentle guidance. Those people whom you're asking us to serve today. It may be one person. It may be a classroom of people. It may be our own children. It may be our wives and our husbands. Whoever those people are, oh God, lift them up. Bring us them up into our consciousness. Bring them up into our minds, oh God. And now fill us with the will to step out and to serve those persons in your name. To love you by loving them. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.